This is Citizens Council Forum, America's number one public affairs program, where prominent Americans report to the nation on important issues. This week, the series of discussions is presented coast to coast by Citizens Council Forum, a nonprofit educational corporation, with the cooperation of public-spirited broadcasters who share our belief that Americans must be informed to remain free. Now, here is the producer of Citizens Council Forum, Dick Morphew.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Citizens Council Forum. We're very happy to have on today's program Dr. Medford Evans, staff consultant to the Citizens Councils of America. Dr. Evans, who received his PhD from Yale University, is a longtime college professor, author, and lecturer. Dr. Evans, very happy to have you with us today.
Thank you, Dick. It's a pleasure to be here.
Recently, you wrote an article on private schools, which appeared in the magazine The Citizen. I know you've done a lot of research on this subject and helped in the formation of a number of new private schools. Do you feel that the public generally is becoming more interested in private schools?
Dick, in my travels, which are primarily in Tennessee, Arkansas, and other southern states, I find a surprisingly widespread and rather intense interest in the private school movement. This is everywhere I go, the same thing. A casual reference to private schools in a speech on some other topic will usually be an occasion for the audience to interrupt with applause. I've been very much struck by it.
Why is this? To what do you ascribe this new interest in private schools?
I think there are two reasons. One is new. That is as a result of the stepped-up forced integration drive by the revolutionaries. Many people are conscious that if they are going to send their children to a school where their classmates will be of the same race, then this is going to have to be a private school because the public schools have been conquered by the integrationist forces. But this new interest would not itself be quite so intense or so quick to pick up if there had not already been waiting there a sort of dissatisfaction with the public school setup and a feeling that we need a better educational system than we've been getting the past 20 years for the taxpayer's dollar. So this latent and chronic dissatisfaction with public schools is sparked by the new and acute alarm over the integration problem.
In speaking of the desire of parents to send their children to school with pupils of the same race, do you believe that this means that more people are realizing the desirability, in fact, the necessity of doing this in order to maintain the highest possible standards of education?
Yes, I do mean that. Of course, there are many parents, you might say, disagree about the purely social aspect of the thing. There are some who are indignant at the thought that their children would go to school with children of another race purely on social grounds. There are other parents that don't really care about this. However, all parents do care as to the quality of the education. By now, there has been enough experience with the congregation of the races in one classroom to demonstrate conclusively that educational standards inevitably fall when there is a significant number, statistically significant number, of Negroes in the same class with whites. For the rather fixed difference in IQ rating, as well as in average cultural background, it means that any pace which is natural and healthy for one race is totally unsuited to the other. And therefore, the educational system itself inevitably deteriorates when you have genuine integration.
You have spoken of private schools being organized in several southern states. How extensive has this organization been in recent years? I know that the first one to come to mind generally is in Prince Edward County, Virginia, in Farmville, where actually in that case a private school for many years served as a substitute for the public school. But now we are finding, are we not, the private schools coming along concurrently with the maintenance of public schools.
That's true. The Prince Edward venture was a pioneer project and a very successful one, I should add. they discovered that the quality of education there really improved when they went on the private basis. They had to make certain modifications and, as you know, had to reinstitute the public system in Prince Edward County under a court order. So your conclusion that now what we have is private schools in addition to public schools is perfectly correct. Of course, in this new phase, the most intense activity is, as might be expected, in the state of Mississippi, where we have, I believe, about 50 new schools. However, there are schools in every part of the South, and there are also schools that basically have the same purpose in the North and in the West. So I would say that fundamentally it is a nationwide phenomenon, although it's more obvious in some places than in others.
I was going to ask, Dr. Evans, haven't there actually been, until the very recent years, many more private schools in the North than in the South?
The division, I think, is not so much a matter of North and South as it is of East and West. This is a historical fact because, of course, this country was settled from the East to the West. And in the early years of our nation, virtually all the schools were private. There was at that time no great population in the West at all. The public school movement developed as the population moved west. And therefore, public schools were much more prominent in the western states. And you realize, of course, that in the early days, Alabama and Kentucky were considered western states, and so was Indiana. Now, in New England, in Virginia, in the Carolinas, and in East Tennessee, rather notably, there has always been a strong system of private schools. I know when I was a teenager, I lived in Chattanooga, Tennessee. At that time, everyone sent their children to private schools unless they just couldn't possibly afford it, because it was taken for granted that the private schools were so much better than the public schools. However, in Texas, where I also lived and where I was born, the attitude was altogether different. So this is, I think, a matter of East and West. Today we see, therefore, the new private school movement is more obvious in the West, because there they are replacing public schools, or seem slated to do so. They haven't done that yet. Whereas in the East, it's a matter of just strengthening a system that's been there longer than the public system has been.
In the existing system of private schools, the Eastern system, has the race factor entered into the growth of these private schools recently?
It isn't talked about much, but it's very much there. I think the most striking illustration of this is in the area around New York City, where, of course, and of course around Washington, D.C. also, where the public schools are almost overwhelmed by the Negroes, and in the case of New York City, by the Puerto Ricans also. I am told, and I think this is reliable information, that people such as the faculty of Columbia University, an institution which has had a great deal to do with the promotion of integration in the public schools, that the members of the faculty, however, send their own children to private schools in order to escape the lowering influence on standards of the vast numbers of Negroes and Puerto Ricans in the New York schools.
Now, Dr. Evans, several southern states have some sort of financial support for pupils or for parents of pupils who are enrolled in acceptable non-sectarian private schools. The states that come to mind most obviously are Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, and Virginia. Do you believe that private schools in these states are dependent upon the state financial support?
Basically, no. I don't think they are. I think that the schools would be there even if there were not the financial aid. I think the financial aid is desirable. I think that insofar as education is a desideratum for the state, that it therefore legitimately subsidizes education, just as it subsidizes other things which are in the public interest. I think the demand for good education is so strong that people who are sincerely interested in their children's future and in the future of their country are going to see to it that good schools are kept alive with state aid, if possible, without it, if necessary.
I take it, then, that you see the future of private schools in the United States generally as being one of continued growth.
I think this is as inevitable as any future forecast can well be. The reason why I say that is that, on the one hand, I am pessimistic. I am afraid that the integration movement has not spent its force. Now, it inevitably will destroy the public school system. You simply cannot have good standards in an integrated school. The vacuum created will have to be filled, and it will be filled by private schools.
Very briefly, what suggestions could you offer to people who are interested in the private school movement?
Well, if they will, of course, write to the Citizens Council, 315 Plaza Building, Jackson, Mississippi, we have a packet of material, a number of items of literature on this subject. Actually, the steps are relatively simple, and where there is enough enthusiasm and determination, they may be surprisingly easily accomplished. Certainly, we have had remarkable success with our Council School Number 1 in Jackson, Mississippi, of which you and I know from personal observation.
Which is now operating a full 12-grade program.
Operating a full 12-grade program at capacity for the present facilities, and of course new facilities will in due course be acquired. We're reliably informed that there are many, I've seen some of them, though briefly, in other parts of Mississippi. I am particularly aware also of certain private schools in Tennessee, where, by the way, they do not have a state aid program, but they have some very good private schools, particularly in Fayette County, in the little town of Huntersville in Madison County, and in the town of Covington. So all over, I think you'll find this thing is growing.
Dr. Evans, thank you very much for being with us today. Our guest on today's edition of Citizens Council Forum has been Dr. Medford Evans, staff consultant to the Citizens Councils of America. Join us again next week at the same time when we'll be back with another program in your Citizens Council Forum series. Till then, Dick Morphew speaking coast to coast, saying thanks a lot for being with us. So long, everybody.
Citizens Council Forum is dedicated to the preservation of our American tradition of freedom. If you agree that individual liberty and constitutional government must be preserved, if you want to do something positive and worthwhile to help protect our freedom, then we want to hear from you. Just write to Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. We'll be happy to send you, without obligation, literature showing how you can help. Address your card or letter to Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. America's number one public affairs series is presented coast to coast each week by Citizens Council Forum, a nonprofit educational corporation. Join us next week for another informative discussion and remind your friends to tune in. It's time to take a stand. By working together, we can and will safeguard our freedom.